Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another fabulous episode of Becoming Mom and Dad. Sorry we missed last week. We were out of town, and we just didn't really have a chance to do it. But Gemma is 11 weeks old now, and we traveled with her for the first time, so we'll get into some of that.
And she is now sleeping longer. She has some new milestones, and I am now entering my postpartum hair loss era, so... That sounds super fun for me, and let's just dive right into it. So, starting where we left off, Gemma was 9 weeks old because we recorded our last episode on February 9th, and she is now 11 weeks old. So, between now and then, we have done a date night, which was super fun. Skylar and I went out for Valentine's Day and just did our own thing, and she was pretty good for my parents, so that was good. And then we did our normal work week. She kind of has some, like, we're trying to teach her how to sleep without her swaddle on. We're just doing one arm swaddled instead of both arms, so I think that's been kind of working out. There was one night she slept without either arm swaddled, but then she kind of kept knocking her face. She loves to put her hands in her face when she's sleeping if her arms are out, so we haven't been doing that entirely. We've been, like, wrapping the one arm.
Yeah, one arm seemed to work a lot better.
Now, at work, for me, she was doing good with just, with both arms out and just using, like, a little, like, blanket or whatever with me watching her or whatever. And then I recently had to start doing the one arm again back at work, too, because she wasn't sleeping well. But then, like, right now she's sleeping and she has no, she has both arms out. So that's been going okay. And then at night we do one arm. We're just trying to start pre-transitioning her so that way when she does learn to roll over, we don't have to just, like, take away the swaddle entirely. Because, like I said, she likes to hit herself in the face and knock her pacifier out of her mouth, and that's, like, super frustrating for us when we think she's finally asleep and then, like, every 10 minutes she's knocking her pacifier out. So, but right now she's doing good. So we're just going to keep working on that. And we also decided to move her bedtime up an hour, so we can kind of get into why we chose to do that. And basically, it started out with her witching hour just started getting a little bit crazy. Like, she just never wanted to take a nap between, like, 5 and 7. And she used to nap really good, and she still does take a good nap sometimes, but sometimes she only naps like 30 minutes or wake up or whatever. So I was like, and then it seemed like she was ready for bed just, like, earlier. Like, she wanted to go to bed, like, she was fussy. And so I was like, screw it, let's just try it and see, because she also wasn't waking up as early in the morning. She was like letting us wake her up. So I was like, let's just bump her bedtime back. So the last, like, 3 or 4 nights, she's gone to bed at 8 instead of 9. And it's actually gone really well. Last night, she slept 11 and a half hours and did not wake us up a single time. So that was really good. And I felt like it was the best sleep I've gotten in a while. So that was fun.
Yeah, and we were kind of, like, afraid that she was going to wake up earlier if we bumped her bedtime up. But it really hasn't been the case. I mean, I think, like,
one night, she did, like, 15 minutes early.
Yeah, and, like, the day before, like, I usually get up with her at 7. And, like, the day before yesterday, she woke up at, like, 6:40. But I gave her pacifier, and she gave me my, like, 20 more minutes before she really got, like, fussy.
So. Today she didn't even wake up till 7:15, so she's been doing pretty good. I guess some of the things we've started noticing as far as, like, her milestones, do you want to talk about anything new, like, her patterns of what you've noticed, how her personality's coming out or anything like that?
I think, like, I mean, it's nothing, like, crazy. I think her personality is, like, I feel like she's been talking a little bit more. Like, I know she can't talk, but, like, she's been making more advanced sounds.
Yeah.
And she's been smiling a lot more. Like, when you kind of interact with her, like, she knows that, like, you're mm-hmm. interacting with her. And then she's also, I don't know if we talked about her drama cry. I think we have.
But I think
she,
we have.
She definitely, like, knows how to fake cry now, which I guess is a personality trait.
Yeah, probably gets that from me, so. but she also, like, is better with tracking people with her eyes. Like, she'll follow you around the room. And she does this cute thing now where if you stick your tongue out at her, she'll stick her tongue back out, and that's pretty fun.
I think I've even noticed her, like, sticking her tongue out without me prompting her to. Like, I feel like she's just doing it sometimes because now she kind of knows how to do it.
Yeah, she's kind of just like we'll make her laugh and then she'll just kind of go and stick it out.
She still hates tummy time. Right before we start recording, I put her down to try it, and she lasted like literally 1 minute before she was screaming. So we got to work on that more.
Yeah, she holds her head up good though.
Yeah, she can. Yeah, she's getting a lot of.
But I think a lot of the reasoning for that is because I kind of do that with her. I practice with her by like holding her by her armpits and making her kind of like hold her head up on her own. Like obviously, I'm still there like to hold her head if she drops it. But like, I've been kind of letting her like practice, kind of supporting you on her own. So she's been doing pretty good with that. She's going through her spit up era. She is spitting up so much all the time. And the doctor said not to worry about it, so I'm not worried about it, but she just be spitting up.
Yeah.
But like, she's a happy spit upper. So
she was just, when she did her tummy time, when I went to pick her back up, I saw like just a pool of spit up on the blanket she was on, and I was like, oh, great.
She without a doubt spits up every time I put her in her car seat, because I think when I tighten the car seat strap, it like pushes on her belly a little bit, so it kind of makes her spit up too. So I've noticed that. I constantly have to clean the car seat from spit up. And she also is... Like I said, she's still napping good. She's doing all that. They're spitting up, sticking the tongue out.
Her routine hasn't changed much. Like, no, we're still really basically feeding her at the same increments, and, like, she's napping the same increments. Like, nothing as far as routine has changed yet.
For me, like, the last 2 weeks, I've noticed a lot. Like, I'm really able to tell, like, when she's hungry versus tired now. And I'm also able to kind of just tell, like, what more of her cries are distinctively. Like, she has this cry now that she does when she, like, wants a change of scenery. Like, she doesn't really... She's not hungry or tired. She just wants to do something else or, like, look at something else. And I think that's because her eyesight is developing more, so she gets bored looking at the same thing. She's not a newborn now, just, like, staring into the abyss. Like, she's actually looking at stuff and wants to see more creative stuff. And she also cries now. I've noticed this. Every time she's in the car... If I stop moving the car, like I'm at a red light, or if I'm, you know, parking to run in and grab something, or I put her in the car seat and I'm like waiting to start the car, she cries if she's in her car seat and it's not moving. She does not like being in the back seat of the car unless the car is moving. And when we went out of town this past weekend, we were waiting on one of our friends to show up, like to get in the car with us, and we were all already in the car, and I was sitting in the back seat with her, and she literally was crying and I was talking to her because she just wanted the car to move. She does not like the car just stationary. She also likes music in the car. Sometimes she'll be crying, and as soon as I put music on, she stops. So she likes that. But we can kind of talk about our weekend away if you want to talk.
Oh, yeah. About that. One of the things we've also noticed now, like sometimes when we're doing her bedtime, she like gets mad at us for talking.
Oh, yeah. She wants us to literally shut up. We'll be reading her a story or like singing to her, and she'll cry. And I'm thinking like something's wrong. And then as soon as I stop talking, she just continues to drink her bottle and it's fine.
Yeah. So she's like, shut up.
She's like, I'm trying to relax. I think she gets overstimulated sometimes. Maybe she gets that from me too.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, but do you want to start how we packed and everything for the weekend?
Yeah, so we went out of town just for one night. And honestly, that was the worst part, was the amount of stuff we had to pack. Because you got to pack, I mean, you know, stuff for her to lay in, and all her formula and her bottles and her diapers and her... play, whatever. Did we bring anything to play with?
Play mat,
yeah. And our play mat, and like it just, and we put the whole bassinet in the back seat of the car, or the because back of the car.
We have a pack and play, but we didn't have it with us, and also she's still kind of too little to sleep in that, and I don't feel comfortable sleeping in the bed with me, so I was like, we have to bring some sort of flat surface for her to sleep in. We also brought like 4 outfits for every day because of her little spit up era, so.
But, I mean, besides the packing and, like, loading it all up in the car, which was kind of time-consuming, everything else was fine. I mean, we drove 2 hours, and she slept the whole time there and back. Like, didn't get upset or anything in the car. We didn't have to stop.
We did kind of do that on purpose. We fed her. Like, we kind of fed her and changed her and, like, got in the car when we knew would be her 2-hour nap time. So that kind of worked out. Now, if we do a longer road trip, then it's like we're going to have to stop and feed her and all that. But... we didn't have to do that this time.
And then we traveled, and like once we met up with our friends, we went. She traveled. Kaylee and her friend had an event to go to, and she went with them to that. And
she was good the whole time. Everybody kept complimenting how good she was. We were at one of our friends' gender reveal parties, and Gemma just like chilled the whole time. My sister held her, and then.
And then after that, we, like, obviously, we, like, took her back to the house and, like, changed her, fed her, all that. And then we went back out to a restaurant with our friends. And, again, she was fine the whole time. And, honestly, I think it worked in our favor because by the time we got back,
well,
she was
there for 4.5 hours.
Yeah, and by the time we got back, she was just like so worn out, I guess, from being out all day. Like, we put her in the guest room we were staying in, and she just like went right to sleep.
Didn't wake up at all for the pacifier, nothing. We also fed her while we were out, so we didn't have to even give her a nighttime bottle. We literally just got home, swaddled her, and she went straight to sleep.
Which I guess, like, my worry has been, like, because we've kind of established, like, a bedtime routine. Like, whenever we can't do her exact routine, sometimes I'm like, oh, crap. Like, especially at the beginning, I was like, man, like, if we don't get to do the same thing, like, is it going to be a problem? Like, is she not going to be able to go down? Because it was different, but honestly, every time...
We didn't give her a bath, we didn't rock her, we didn't do a story, all that stuff. All we did was wrap her up and put her to bed.
But really, like, every time that her bedtime routine has been disrupted, it doesn't really seem to affect her.
Like, the Valentine's Day, we went out, like, we came home and there were tornadoes and stuff and, like, all that, of course, you know, but we got home and all we did was give her last ounce and put her to bed, and that was fine. There have been nights where, like, she's just, like, more fussy than normal, and I'll just, like, do her bedtime routine by myself, and I don't want to do the whole full routine, so I'll just, like, cut some of it out, and I'll just put her to bed, and she seems to do okay with that. So I think she's just a good sleeper, but I'm hoping that as we go on, because, like, you know, now we're starting to get into the territory of, like, now there actually are sleep patterns, because people have been telling us, you know, all the sleep patterns we've created for her so far, which are working really well, aren't actually going into her brain like a routine. But now she's starting to get to the age where it is going to become like a ritual, like more habits and stuff.
Which could be why she might get fussy like towards the end of the night, because maybe she's starting to recognize like, oh, I'm usually going to bed at this point.
Yeah, so we are hoping that it continues to go well. That way, as she is kind of like learning her routines, she's doing it well and like keeps it up. Because like I said, she's been on the same routine for like almost 8 weeks now. And so we're trying to just, like, maintain it as we go into that process of her actually learning her schedule a little bit.
It was funny because the other day I was looking at our, like, our Owlet app that comes with the sock. It has also, like, a little tab in it where you can click on it. It'll kind of update you on what week your baby's in and, like, what things you should, like, be doing or expecting, like, how much they'll sleep and how much they'll eat and all that stuff. And I thought it was funny because I was reading it. And it was like, oh, like, by this time you can start to develop a routine for your baby. Like, and I was like, oh, well, like, we've already been on that.
Yeah. Well, she slept, like I said, I don't know if I mentioned this already, but she slept for, like, almost 11 and a half hours last night, which is the longest she's ever gone. And she also did not wake up a single time through the night. So she sleeps through the night every night. But usually one of us will have to go in there 2 or 3 times in the middle of the night to kind of, like, replace her pacifier.
Like, she doesn't wake up fully in the middle of the night, but she'll just kind of start getting, like, she'll maybe slightly wake up and her pacifier's missing and she'll get kind of fussy. But, like, it's like if you go in there, her eyes are closed, and as soon as you fix it, she's straight out
again. But, like, last night, I mean, we've had a handful of nights like this, but last night was the longest she's gone without waking up a single time.
Yeah.
So that felt, like, pretty good. So I'm hoping she continues to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as like everything else is concerned with her, she's been developing really well. And I don't think we have another doctor's visit until 4 months, which kind of like weirds me out that they go so far apart. I guess because I was like so used to going all the time when I was pregnant for them to check on her. And now it's like, oh, now she's living. We don't have to check on her as much. And I'm like, okay, well, whatever. So I feel like I constantly have to make notes of like stuff on my phone that I want to ask the doctor next time I go, because I'm like, that's 2 months away from now. Her vaccines that she got last time, she had like little knots on her thighs and those finally went away. The only thing I've noticed with her honestly still is that her skin's really dry, but we put lotion on it and stuff like that.
It's been better than it was.
I think that's just, you know, it's also winter and it's also really cold, and she does go outside every day, even if it's just from like the car, like from the car to the work building. I think that little bit of air probably just hits her face and it's cold, and she has such sensitive skin because she's a baby, so I'm sure that's also part of it. But she's, in my opinion, I think she's also about to grow out of her 3 month clothes, which is sad. She's getting big real quick. I feel like the first months you couldn't really tell much of a difference, but then like from month 1 to 2 was a big jump, and I feel like we're like halfway through month 2 now, and I feel like I can already see how there's going to be a big jump from like 2 to 3 months also.
It's funny because like you, like, yeah, I know she's getting bigger, but like honestly, where I think I notice the most growth in her is her hair. Because, yeah. I'll randomly, every few days, I'll get home from work or something, and I'll look at her, and I'll, be like, man, her hair's, gotten a lot longer. I didn't realize it.
And she has new baby hairs growing in where she didn't have hair before. Mm-hmm. She is starting to develop her little bald spot, though. I don't know if you noticed that.
Yeah, so, I did.
Babies,
yeah.
When they lay down, they usually get a little bald spot on the back of their heads from, laying, flat. And she is starting to lose a little bit of her hair just right there in that spot. Mm. But I think it's going to be fine. So, hopefully, it's a... all chill after that.
People are starting to say she has red hair. I don't know. I haven't really seen it, but I also don't see her as much in the sun.
I walked her out in the sun yesterday because she hasn't really been outside like that, but one time I went on a walk with her and it's always just been too cold, so I walked out with her when it was 70 degrees the other day to throw away something in the trash, and I kind of took her with me, and when the sun hit her hair, it looked red. It looked very red. I think her eyes are also going to be blue, which I keep saying that, but I feel like they, I just keep noticing them getting lighter and lighter as the weeks.
Well, I could be wrong on this, but don't normally people with red hair have blue eyes, or no?
I don't know.
I feel like that's always.
Don't even know if I want to say their hair is really red, because yours is I guess dirty blonde with a red tint.
But my beard's red.
It is, but then her hair is light blonde with a red tint. So I guess it's more of maybe a strawberry blonde. It's not a full on.
Well, she gets it from my family because my grandfather had reddish hair. My dad has blonde hair, and then I had blonde hair when I was a kid, and then it got darker as I got older. And honestly, the past couple years is when it started taking on a red tint.
Well, what's crazy is her hair looks exactly like yours does now. And I think it's getting lighter, though. I think hers is like I said, I think hers is going more that strawberry blonde color. But I don't think it'll ever be full on auburn red or anything like that. I think it's just going to be a red tint, which, I mean, really pretty. Go off, queen.
I mean, I've never... my entire time growing up, I never was called a redhead. And then, it's the last couple of years, all of a sudden, I've had a few people, literally act like my hair's ginger. Red. Yeah, and I'm what are you saying?
Someone called him a carrot top at work a couple months ago.
Yeah, I was messing with one of the people at work, and I, called her name, and she was like, well, at least I'm not a carrot top. And I was like, what?
But I will say, it's funny because, for reference, I had... jet black hair as a newborn, but by a few months old it was already curly and blonde, so it faded really fast. But her hair was born already light, a light brown reddish color, whatever you want to call it. But it's funny because so many people, I dye my hair dark now, so now my hair is almost black and my eyes are dark, and so people I think just saw me and were like, oh yeah, she's gonna come out with dark hair and dark eyes, which I would explain to people that my natural hair wasn't dark. But we have little predictability sheets on at one of my baby showers. People guessed what color her hair and eyes would be. And 90% of people said, oh, she's going to have brown eyes and brown hair. And I feel like she literally has the opposite. She has blue eyes and this very strawberry blonde looking hair.
I kind of teased the whole time Kaylee was pregnant, and I'd be like, oh, I hope she comes out with red hair.
We all did. I would tell my mom oh, watch, she's going to come out with red hair. And then she kind of did.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think, and someone was telling me the other day, oh, you know, brown's the dominant trait, because I was talking about her eye color, because, you know, babies are all born from the same kind of muted grayish blue eyes, and then they either get darker or lighter. But I was like, I know it's the dominant trait, but you know, I don't know if you all studied genetics, probably not, or took the genetics in high school, which I guess you kind of had to with biology and stuff, but if you have a parent with blue eyes, even if you have brown eyes, you carry the blue eye gene. So I knew there was going to be a chance she could have blue eyes. And she does, so.
Because I think blue eyes is, not just, uncommon. I think it runs deep in my family. I think my grandfather, my dad, and me all have blue eyes.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you have blue eyes, that basically means you have the recessive gene. You don't have the dominant gene, at all. And I don't, does your mom have blue eyes, too?
No, she has brown eyes.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, so you clearly gave her the recessive gene. I obviously, if she does end up having blue eyes, I gave her my dad's blue eyes. So that means when she has blue eyes, if she marries someone with blue eyes or has a baby with someone with blue eyes, then her babies will probably have blue eyes, too.
I will say, I still don't know what her eye color is going to be, but I did, a picture we took of her the other day. She was, in her car seat, I think, and the sun was kind of hitting her face. And when I was, looking at it later, I was like, her eyes do kind of look blue, but I don't know. It's still hard to tell.
But yeah, I kind of want to retouch on this too. I feel if you are expecting or you have a young baby and you're listening and you're nervous about taking your baby out or going places with them being so young, I know there's like the, you know, germ aspect of it, which I totally understand. And I didn't take Gemma around a bunch of people when she was like in her first month. But honestly, now that she's older, like I've had the flu around her. I've had people, you know, hold her and then tell me they're sick after. And then she still hasn't gotten sick. So I feel like my fear of her getting sick has kind of just like gone down a little bit just because she's kind of been exposed to more stuff now. But even if you're just worried about like it being a shit show or whatever, I say just do it, because the worst thing that can happen is, you know, your baby cries and you have to give him a bottle, or, you know, try to get him to sleep for a minute, or you have to go to the bathroom with him or go outside for a minute and like calm him down, whatever. But I think we definitely have had more practice taking her out and stuff now, and she's honestly done really well with most of the things we brought her to. And the thing too with that is, like, I've seen kids before that aren't used to going out, and they do, like, you know, have fits as they get older when they aren't exposed to like going out and like stuff like that. And I want her to be around as many people as possible and like be out at like restaurants and stuff for like several hours and be able to do that. So I think it's something we're gonna try to like keep doing as she gets older too. Because someone even pointed out to me the other day, because like I take her to work with me and there's a bunch of people there, and she was like, oh, if you keep bringing her around like this when as she gets older, like she'll never be shy, like she'll never meet a stranger. And like I talked to them about how like Skylar and I were both shy as kids and like would hide behind our mom's legs and not want to talk to adults at all. And if we can like make her more social as she's younger, then maybe she won't be like that. I don't know.
Yeah, I think like the first time we took her out, like we went to like eat and we had her with us, was after her newborn pictures. And I think that was like that. I was a little stressed that one time because we were out and like she didn't even really do anything, but she started getting like a little bit fussy at the table, and I was like, oh man, she's gonna like be loud. And but honestly, like since then, the other times we've gone out, I haven't really worried about her at all.
The only time I got stressed was I took her to the nail salon with me recently because Skylar couldn't watch her, and I like, it sounds dumb, but like I had to get my nails done before our trip, and it was the only time I could go. And I fed her before we left. I went during her nap time, but she just like was not napping. Come to find out later, she had shit in her diaper, and I didn't know that at the time because I was like currently actively getting my nails done and couldn't really check. But she honestly was fine up until the last like 10 minutes. And then it was actually sweet because one of the nail techs asked me if she could like help me and give her pacifier. So I let the one nail tech like give her pacifier a couple times. But even then, like, and that was like the most stressful because it was like a quiet place where people go to like relax. And like, she was kind of being fussy, but even then, like everybody around me was super like helpful and like understanding, so it wasn't even that serious. I saw on TikTok some week where like some lady who was taking her baby on like her first airplane flight made like goodie bags for everyone on the plane with like candy and earplugs and stuff in it, and was being like, and left like a little note with it saying, this is my first flight, sorry if I'm fussy, blah blah blah, like whatever. And then a lot of the comments on that TikTok were like, oh, this is so smart, like I should have done this. But then there were also a lot of moms being like, don't feel like you have to do this, like people know that people have babies, and like everybody has been around a fussy baby in their life, and it's not the end of the world. And most people who are like are decent aren't going to get mad about it. And also, if you're buying an airplane ticket, you're basically putting yourself in a situation to be around anybody and everybody. And if you have a baby crying, then like wear headphones. It's 2025. Get some Beats or some AirPods and get over it.
That's like what I was about to say. I was like, if you fly and you don't have headphones, then you're like psychotic anyway.
Yeah, like I mean, that's the thing. Like, you shouldn't be worried to take your baby out because of what other people will think, because at the end of the day, like, it's a baby. Like, well, they were a baby at one point. I'm sure they cried and it was fine.
I also noticed, like, when we've gone out, like, I've started to, I guess I'm more aware of it. Like, I'll hear other people that have small children or babies in the restaurant, and sometimes like their baby will get fussy and like I'll hear it, but I don't think anything like negative.
Like, I'm never like mad.
Oh. Yeah. Like, I mean, so I guess I just am like, okay, well, most people probably think that. Plus,
but pro then when tip, it's your own baby, you start to worry that
yeah, they're mad. But pro tip too is if you go out, especially like try to go out with like friends who want to hold her and stuff or hold your baby,
oh, because then they just, like,
yeah, then they just like everyone wants to chill with her and you don't have to worry about it for a little while.
Yeah, like, my sister and my friend hogged the baby the entire time we were out. Like, mm-hmm. I didn't hold her but for like maybe 2 minutes the whole time we were there. But yeah, it's honestly a lot easier than I thought it was going to be in my head to like have her just like out and about doing things and stuff. The only thing you have to think about is there was one time we fumbled the bag and we didn't take her distilled water with us. So we had to use freaking tap water from a sink, and I was like, this is yikes. But she was fine, so.
I looked it up. You can use tap. As long as your city, like, if you're using, like, city water that's, like, approved, then it's okay.
Yeah, but, you know, it's just better for baby's tummies to use distilled water. But she didn't have any, like, problems with it or anything after that, so it was fine.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's pretty much all we have for now. I think going into this next week, we have family coming into town tomorrow, and we're getting close to the 3-month mark, so we will talk to y'all soon and give you all the updates on Little Gemma.
We look forward to talking again.
Bye.
Bye.